He ended up apologizing and was like, look, look, I didn't mean to do that. This is what's happening. I'm going to cut your price like way, way low to get your business. And I was like, no, that's not how I work. It's not like I'm going to treat you like poo and then make up for it. Like, I rather work with someone that I know is going to take care of me and treat me with respect from the beginning. I don't want something to go wrong and then be like, oh, I have to make up for it.
Welcome to The Dental Marketer. This is your go-to podcast for diving deep into the world of business, marketing, self-development, and dentistry. From startup secrets to real talk with the pros, we've got it all. So whether you're just starting out or you're deep in years in running your own practice, join us for a mix of success stories, a few learning curves, and loads of insights from the brightest in the industry. We'll chat, learn, and grow together, one episode at a time. Are you interested in making the big leap from associateship to private practice owner? Well, tune into this episode as we talk with Dr. Linda Nguyen, a passionate dentist with an inspiring tale of achieving her dreams despite facing adversities. Now, taken by surprise with challenges at her first glamorous job in downtown Denver, Linda had a reality check on ethical dilemmas that some practices may face today. With the discord between promises made to patients and actual care delivered, she embarked on a journey that led her closer to owning the kind of practice she had always dreamed of, a place where patient-centric care is paramount. Now, Linda's journey wasn't a smooth ride, but she conquered all odds with her never-give-up attitude and solidified her place in private practice ownership. Now, she not only shares the authentic, often untold, gritty realities of dentistry, but also offers key insights to navigate the startup phase and step up to the role of a private practice owner. Now, Linda's story is a testament to how crucial it is to find your community, a trustworthy financial partner, and a dedicated team for thriving in the competitive world. What you'll learn in this episode is, number one, why Linda transitioned from associateship to owning her own practice. Two, the challenges Linda faced in her first job and how that shaped her future decisions. Three, how she approached ethical dilemmas and navigated her way towards the dentistry she wanted to practice. Four, thoughts on choosing financial partners and strategically building her team. Five, the importance of creating patient-centric experiences in a dental practice. And six, how to balance business and personal values in a saturated market. So without further delay, here is Dr. Linda Nguyen. Linda Mile Nguyen. Linda, how's it going?
It's going well. Great job saying my middle name.
No, thank you. Thank you. Impressed. Where is it from?
It's from Vietnam.
Okay. Okay. Nice. Interesting. So if you can, tell our listeners a little bit about your past, your present. How'd you get to where you are today?
Yeah. Past, I was born in Colorado, lived my entire life here. To bring it back to the origins of my name, my parents are refugees from Vietnam, so we're first generation here. I grew up in Denver and lived my entire life in Colorado until I went to residency in San Antonio. That's the only year that I've stayed away from home, and then came immediately back because I love Colorado. My life towards dentistry has not been super traditional. I didn't know I wanted to be a dentist until probably the last year of college when everyone's scrambling to figure out what they want to do. But yes, I didn't have any true exposure to dentistry, but it somehow found me and I somehow found it. And the more I learned about it, the more I was curious and the more I keep desiring to learn more. And that's even now. I still love learning. I've been a dentist for about 8 years now, which is wild to think, because it feels like time just flew by. I am a new practice owner in Denver, Colorado, a small private practice that I'm super proud of and excited to share.
Okay. Were you working as an associate before?
Yes. So I've worked in several associateships. I was in one in downtown Denver for about 2 years, and that was dicey, to be truly honest. And then after that, I felt very lucky to have all my other associateships. It's challenging as an associate. So Yeah, I mean, it's challenging, but I was thankful for my first experience because I had something to compare it to, and nothing was ever that bad. So yeah, I had two other associateships after that, and now I currently work part-time in my office and with a corporate office.
Okay,
and
nice.
I'm very blessed to be where I am now.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So rewind back a little bit, the diciness in the associateship. What does that mean? Why was it dicey?
So, like I said, I hadn't had much experience in dentistry. So when I came back from residency, my residency had me so excited about dentistry. I learned things with surgeries, and I just felt like I had a very good understanding of comprehensive care and was really excited to bring that back to Denver. And I found a doc and an office that seemed like a great fit. And I was really excited about it. I felt like I got so lucky and that it was too good to be true. And it turned out it was. And with that, you know, there was a lot of glitz and glamour in the office in terms of it being in downtown, lots of promises with certain types of procedures to me procedurally to be able to do, but also to the patient. And as time went on, things weren't quite matching up. And I just felt a lot of dissonance between what we were promising and what was being delivered. And I couldn't stay there anymore. So it was a challenge. I mean, it's a different office. It was very well established. And even now, like talking about it, I feel nervous kind of talking about it because it's a well-established office. And in my first years, it was just the beginning of my career. So it was very hard for me to speak up or understand what the field was like. But in these last 6 years, I've found really wonderful dental colleagues and mentors, and I'm learning that that was very not normal. And there are a lot of great people out there and amazing people in the profession that I can grow from and learn from and want to associate with.
Okay. So then specifically, Linda, like what was it that was not normal? Like, why wasn't it a great fit? What procedures were they promising? And you're like, I'm not doing any of this.
Yeah, well, we were charging like top dollar. And I didn't know what that looked like. And then like for one crown, Milden office, that fee 8 years ago or 7 years ago was $2,295 for a single crown. And implants were, I think, around $8,000 an implant. And it's not necessarily about the price, because if we back it up, if we build value and it's there, then that's fine. We can charge whatever. But I was finding that treatment was failing. And it wasn't a one-off thing. It was often.
Really? Like,
veneers were falling off. Implants were failing and explanted, and bigger ones were placed in. And I'm like, that's just not the way things work. You know, we have to regrow bone. We have to make sure the environment can support an implant. It's not take one out because it fails and put another one right in there that's bigger. I didn't really resonate with the style of problem solving and the style of treatment planning. It felt like we were doing some crazy things.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
More for like the money, like more for the buck, you mean, kind of thing, or no?
Yeah, okay. It was all about money, or that's what I felt. And the way that I was treated too, I'm very soft-spoken, and I am a big people pleaser. So as an employee, I'm like, okay, I'm going to get things done. I'm going to go above and beyond, especially if, you know, I believe in the purpose. And I did for a year. And then I was like, okay, things aren't working. And once I started voicing my concerns and objections, I was silenced. And that felt so strange, because as a new dentist, I was like, okay, it's me. Like, I don't know what the real world is like. And one thing that my boss at the time often said was like, look, you went to school for this. That's not the real world. This is how we do it in the real world. And I'm like, there has to be some sort of correlation, right?
Yeah. Like,
what we spent all of our years learning and what we've devoted all of our time studying, I know it's not going to be one in one, but I can't throw everything I've learned out the door to just do something quickly. We have to do it the right way. So that didn't bode well in that office.
How are you silent?
When I submitted my resignation, it was like a 90-day termination period. I forget how to call that. But there were days when I was allowed to see patients, days when I was not allowed to see patients, and it would happen on a whim. And I would be on the side just waiting for an okay to approach a treatment room. If I was to present a treatment to the patient, my boss would then go in and negate everything that I said in front of the patient and in front of me.
Like, how did he do? How? They would just say, no, that's not right. No.
And he's like, well, Dr. Linda, she's young. She's new. This is my treatment plan. What she's saying is not correct. And it was so strange. And then in team meetings, I wasn't allowed to let anyone know that I had submitted my resignation, and he made it a big secret. I think he wanted to like plan something. And then one day he just decided to tell the team and didn't tell me he was going to tell the team. And then they were upset at me for not letting them know, but it was everything on his terms, on his time. And there were just weird situations that I don't know if this is appropriate to say. But I'm Asian, and my boss would often make comments about it. Like with the patient, he would tell jokes, and one joke where I was acting as the hygienist, because I would do everything in the office, whatever it was, and I don't mind doing hygiene, but that day I was a hygienist or filled the hygienist role, and he came in to do the exam because I'm not qualified to do an exam. And he just talks to the patient. He's like, oh, have you heard this joke? A man marries a Chinese woman and says, oh, what do you want to do for a honeymoon tonight? And the reply was, oh, 69. And he goes and says to the wife, like, do you know what that means? And her reply is Mushu Gaipan. That was the joke with me and the moon. And I'm
interesting.
And I'm like, how is this a culture that has facilitated growth? Yeah, I don't know. It's just it was a very strange experience.
I didn't even get the joke, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So he would do things like that. So it was more the owner for you than the whole team culture, or was it just everything?
The team was great. He finds incredible people that are just willing to like work above and beyond. Like the team dynamic, the team culture, like the people that he selects are top-notch, incredible people. But I feel like we lived in a realm of fear because it's like his way or no way. And you would just get shut down quick. He would make jokes about like people's weight, or there are whiteboards where our goals were on it. There was one dental assistant that wanted to lose weight, and he called her out in front of the team meeting. He's like, you think you're going to be able to do that? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I don't know. Man. It was like the craziest thing. And I'm so, so glad that I'm so far removed from it.
Were there any positive things that you got out of there? Like, for example, any systems where you're like, I like this. When I have my own practice, I'm going to do this in my practice.
Totally. I mean, he's very, very business minded. So he was very great at learning how to build value and having patients understand value. And then with the team, they were all like on board. They would also all strive to make the patient experience like a concierge type style. So I learned a lot about that and helping patients feel heard and understood. As we did consults that were like one-on-one for an hour, just getting to know each other, which I really enjoyed. So,
okay. That's really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there was an interview process with the patient too.
How did that go?
Yeah, so we asked kind of similar to how you started, past, present, future. So what brought you in today? Why now? What motivates you to continue on with treatment, or what motivates you to be here and help support you through the process of your treatment? What scares you? What are you excited about? Those types of questions. One other question. I cannot believe I still remember this. There was like a whole sheet.
And so are you doing this in your practice though, or no?
I'm not.
Oh, I thought you were. Okay.
No, I'm not. But I took the intent of it in terms of getting to know our patients, that I took with me, and going above and beyond in terms of like getting to know them and understanding what their desires are, and not just forcing what I see on an X-ray on a patient, but really strategizing together.
Okay. Okay.
So then that developed over the years from that first patient interview. So that 1 hour interview, I feel like now we get to know our patients, not like super, super well, but like in the first 5 minutes, we get a gauge of like, hey, how can we help you?
Yeah. So, interesting. Okay. Now, a new segment in our interviews is we sprinkle in a couple of questions or scenarios throughout the interview so our audience can get to know you better.
Yeah.
And
totally.
One of the first scenarios is time travel. So speaking of all this, if you could go back in time, or it can be any time, right? And give your starting out self one piece of advice, but it can't be business related. What would it be?
I would say live in the moment. Time just flies so fast. And sometimes the time that you're in feels like a lifetime, like I did previously. Now I'm like, oh my gosh, it's been 8 years. And that time just flies by. But I think it's important to really just live in the moment, embrace it, be present, be there with who you're there with, or if you're just by yourself, be there with yourself and be there for yourself, I guess is what I would say.
Okay. No, I really like that. I enjoy that. Now, if we fast forward a little bit, now you have a practice, you said, right?
Yes.
You're working in here. Has that always been the goal to like practice ownership, or how did that come about?
No. I would say the baby dream started when I submitted my resignation. Because I was like, there has to be a different way. And I then went to different associateships and they were great, but I was never feeling fully fulfilled. And I would say with COVID, that's when you get a lot of time with yourself and your thoughts. And I just really got excited about, hey, I can open a dental practice. I want to open my own office and I can support a team through that. And I can also help potentially support a community through that. And that's what really got me excited. I thought about other ways, like, should I acquire an office? Should I partner? And I feel like I exhausted every thought process possible and explored it. And they always came back to a startup, which is odd. Because a startup, you hear so often that it's the worst decision financially and you're crazy to do it. And I totally feel that way. Like, but it's been such a blessing and a lot of fun to build it from the ground up and know that it's mine and that I can share it with others.
Yeah. No, that's beautiful. And so can we dive into the business side of your startup?
Sure.
So if we, how'd you get your, or who did you go for with your loan? If you decided to get a loan.
It was between Bank of America and Wells Fargo at the time.
Okay. Why Bank of America?
I go off of a lot of just how I connect with a person and if I can see myself working with them long term. And Wells Fargo was great, a very nice individual. But Bank of America felt like they could get stuff done and things happened at a quicker rate. And I liked that. And they were very adaptable. Like my process took, I want to say maybe like 3 years, and they were along for the ride with me. Even when I was like, look, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to partner with someone instead.
Yeah.
They were like, okay, well, what does that look like for you? And they still helped me kind of figure things out. Then when I was like, hey, actually, I am going to do a startup. Let's go back. They were there.
Yeah.
So, oh, thanks, Bank of America.
why 3 years? Why were you thinking like, forget it and then go back? And
I was so scared. I was so, so scared. I thought I would fail. I thought I would have all this debt. I wouldn't be able to sleep. And I was just afraid and I didn't believe in myself for the longest time.
Interesting. Yeah. Your loan, how much was it for?
It started off at $550. And it worked its way up to $750.
Oh, wow. Okay. So then how much was your build out?
My build out was a lot. It was $590.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. How does it look? If you can like kind of bring it forward to us, is it, how many ops are plumbed and
Yeah, so it's plumbed for five, and there are two rooms that are equipped. There's a beautiful reception area when you walk in, a check-in, check-out counter that has some like quartz and copper veins through it. It's gorgeous. There's a concert room, the room that I'm in right now, a nice little stairy area, a team break room, an office for me, patient bathroom, and a team bathroom.
Okay, nice. Mm-hmm. And then how big is your team?
My team is a team of three, including me. So two team members.
Okay,
and
nice.
I just joined 2 weeks ago, and she's phenomenal.
So what are their roles?
One is a front office team member, and the other is back office, like dental assistant.
Okay, nice. How'd you find them?
One of them I worked with a few years back, and she didn't have any dental experience, and I trained her from the ground up. And she has a passion for dentistry, and she's just, we really connected, and she's been kind of waiting for me to open an office. She got out of dentistry for a little while, and once she heard I was opening my office again, she's like, can I have an interview? And I was like, well, let's meet up and talk and just see how you're doing, what your goals are now in the future, and see if we align. My front office team member, I found her through Indeed.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay. So that's pretty, the Indeed one, I mean, how long did it take you to start finding, was it people leaving you, ghosting you, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Or how did that roll?
Yeah, so I opened right around the holidays, like December time. So I was getting no hits, very limited hits. Very limited. But I feel like people, I was lucky in that regard. There were a lot of people applying, but if there were 20 people applying, maybe three people had dental experience. And with the startup, it was so important for me to have someone with some dental experience. But the rates in Denver were much higher than I had anticipated. So that was a little challenging, being able to be a startup and match a certain rate. But yeah, at the beginning of the startup, I've been open for about 2 months now. I did everything from answering phones, scheduling patients, checking insurance, submitting claims, everything that I could in the front office for about a month and a half until I found Sydney. So this is very new that we're like a full team.
Oh, nice. Okay. But that time you were probably like, yeah, this is hard, right? Where you were doing everything or?
Yeah. I mean, I would come here at sunrise and leave at like midnight.
Oh, man. That's a lot. Yeah.
Like, I was really good at work-life balance before, but there's none of that right now. But it was worth it. I was still happy to do it because I knew it had to be done.
What is the going rate over there for front office?
I would say with experience, it's right around 26. Like 1 to 2 years of experience is 26-ish.
26 an hour.
Yeah. And then those with more experience who happened to apply were like 35. And I was like, oh, I can't.
So you were looking for someone who has like experience, but like in the lower side.
Yes, experience, but experience that we can grow upon and grow together on versus me adapting a certain type of way.
Okay. And so you've been open for about 2 months, you said?
Mm-hmm.
So how many new patients are you getting monthly right now?
So monthly, we're getting around 50 new patients.
Oh, wow. So what are you doing for marketing and advertising?
So marketing and advertising, I work with Crimson Media, Shane Simmons. He's awesome. We haven't gone like full force marketing yet because I didn't have a team that could support it. But now we're going to change that. But we've been doing Facebook ads and ground marketing and just a little bit of ground marketing here and there.
Gotcha. Okay. That's exciting. So then with that, I guess from, and real quick, how saturated would you say dentistry is in your community?
I would say Denver is pretty saturated. I don't know the exact numbers right now, but there's a dentist around every corner.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you guys friendly with each other? Or?
I don't know any in the area personally. Like I haven't visited them, but I'm sure we would be. I mean, I'm very collaborative. It doesn't feel like you have to fight anyone.
Yeah.
That's not like who I am as a person. So.
Mm-hmm. When you found your location, did you look at the demographics, like through dentographics and things like that?
I did. So I worked with Ideal Practices and they helped formulate those demographic reports and helped me throughout the process, which was very helpful. I didn't know how to jump into it at all. And they have like a unlocking type of program where it's banking first. And then after that, you unlock another level and then you unlock another level. So it felt like a game, which was kind of fun. I was like, okay, I got to get to the next level.
Yeah. Interesting. So then why'd you pick Ideal Practices?
I have been in communication with them for a number of years. And like I said, I went back and forth quite a bit, but they've been on my journey with me. And the reason why I chose them was I wasn't sure if I could stick to my own desires of opening an office. So what I mean by that is I would talk about opening an office and get so many recommendations or like, oh, you should do it like this, or this is how you run a practice. Mm-hmm. There's just so much noise that I needed help focusing that and tuning into what I wanted. And Ideal, I felt like, helped me do that. And they mm-hmm. helped support my vision, my goals, and reeled me back in when I was exploring other things.
In the intricate dance of dental care, your patient's data choreographs every step. But what happens if that rhythm is disrupted? Well, then data loss can be catastrophic. A misstep from which recovery is not just difficult, but sometimes impossible. That's where Dark Horse Tech steps in, ensuring that your practice never misses a beat. With Dark Horse Tech, you have the ultimate digital safety net. They understand the importance of every x-ray, every chart, every note. Their services ensure that your data isn't just backed up, but is recoverable at a moment's notice. Their robust backup solutions work silently in the background, duplicating and safeguarding your data across multiple secure locations. And now, for a limited time, Dark Horse Tech is making this essential service even more accessible. Sign up today and receive 1 month of data backup and recovery services absolutely free. Click the link in the show notes below about Dark Horse Tech's exclusive deal to check out more.
Do you feel like that's super easy to do, Linda? Like, I don't know, if you go on a Facebook group and you ask like a question and then you hear like 50 different opinions and you're just like, I didn't think about that. I mean, some of it can be helpful, I would assume, right? Or no?
Yeah, no, totally. A lot of it can be helpful. It's just then you get in a rabbit hole and then you research and research and make no progress. And that's what I needed help with, is I had all these questions and I was like, well, what about this? What about this? And then you sit back and you're like, wait, will that even apply to me?
Could I ask how much was it to start off with Ideal Practices?
I believe it was a deposit of 14 or 16,000. Then they work their consulting fee into the loan. And that I believe was right around 45,000.
Okay.
In addition to the deposit.
Yeah. Would you say it was all super worth it?
I think it was very helpful. They're very great at connecting people. So they know people in the area and it was just more streamlined. I mean, it's been done before where practices don't need consulting companies and they can make the connections themselves. But I found Ideal very helpful in my lease negotiation, in my loan and equipment. They have some partnerships where you get reduced pricing because you're an Ideal Practice and things like that.
Okay. Yeah. That's good then. With that being said, throughout the time, I guess you opened up to right now, what's been some of the best companies you've worked with and then some of the worst companies, or maybe some companies that just didn't work or vibe with you?
I like that. Best companies, I would say Dark Horse is a really great company. I was referred to them by Ideal Practices and they're an IT company that keeps me running every day. As we're growing, they've been very adaptable. So we've got CBCT. I just added a scanner. Whenever I need help, I'm able to contact them. And I feel like they've got my back, which is really cool.
When it came to the options of IT, were you between other ones or no?
I was. I looked at a local company, but at that time, their load was too much. So they couldn't take on opening another office. And then I had other ones, CentraServe in Utah, something like that. But Dark Horse is very adaptable. So even though they were my IT company, they are my IT company, I was able to get computers through another route and didn't purchase computers through then. And I was like, oh gosh, is this going to be a big issue? They're like, oh yeah, cool. That's fine. Just send us the information. We'll rework your quote and we'll install them for you, mount them for you, make sure everything's nice and smooth. Okay, that's cool. Thank you.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, and it's good. Another company I adore is Burkhart, and it's primarily because of Stan. Stan Weinig is my equipment specialist. He is so detail-oriented, and I appreciate him so much for that because I don't know what plumbing goes in what or how much air compression I need and how loud it's going to be. And he was to the T here every week, making sure that everything was as smooth as it can be. You're going to run into so many problems and hiccups, but I feel he mitigated a lot of that.
Okay.
Saved me a lot of money and a lot of stress. Nothing's blown up. Everything works great.
Nothing's blown up.
And yeah. Everything's smooth. So it's really good.
That's good.
I'm a big relationship person. So Stan's also a cool guy, easy to talk to. I don't feel I'm ever pressured to buy anything. He's just okay, if you have needs or you want something, just let me know and then we'll talk about it. There are other companies that are also big companies that I just did not vibe with. And it was more, I get it, there's a lot of just getting the best price. But if the best price comes at the cost of treating someone poorly, I don't like that. There was one rep that I was speaking to and trying to decide between at the very beginning. And I think I caught him on a bad day because he was upset with me when he found out that I took a equipment trip with another rep. And I was like, look, I was talking to three other reps. And this is how it goes. I thought, I don't know. And he yelled at me.
Really?
Yeah. He's like, how can you look someone in the face and go on a trip with them and then tell them you're not purchasing their product? I was like, I don't know if I'm purchasing their product or not. I thought we were just going to go look at products. I have no idea. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
And then, yeah. And he was very upset. I cheated on him or something. And then I felt really bad because I was like, did I do something wrong? Because I thought, you talk to different reps and then get best pricing and try to figure out what's best for your practice. And it was all copacetic, but I guess it wasn't. And in the end, he ended up apologizing and was like, look, I didn't mean to do that. This is what's happening. I'm going to cut your price way, way low to get your business. And I was like, no, that's not how I work. It's not I'm going to treat you like poo and then make up for it. I rather work with someone that I know is going to take care of me and treat me with respect from the beginning. I don't want something to go wrong and then be like, oh, I have to make up for it.
Do you feel sometimes, Linda, I guess being super nice or soft-spoken, do you feel maybe that's why some people feel they could?
I mean, I think so. It had been a little bit of a pattern, but now I think I've nixed it because I've become more sure. And less impostery syndrome-y, I guess. Mm-hmm. Before I was very unsure. So I would allow those avenues of well, yeah, you're wrong and whatever. Now I'm no, I'm not. I don't know. You can't talk to me like that. I'm sorry. Bye.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you're right.
Or I would question if that behavior was warranted because of something I did. And I don't know. I felt like it did happen a lot, but I don't think it happens a lot anymore.
Mm. Okay, that's good.
I'm soft-spoken. I'm 5 foot. I'm little.
Yeah. No. Okay. No. That makes sense. It's good that though. Now you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. You don't let it.
I'm working on it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So then our next scenario is the philosophical investor. So if you can invest in one currency that's not monetary, such as kindness, innovation, integrity, which would you choose to enrich your business and why?
I would say connection. Taking the time to connect, be curious, ask questions. I think we're all just super busy all the time and just trying to get to the next step. But if we pause and spend more time in that pause, paying more moments to the pause, we can learn more about people. And I think that's what life's all about, right? It's those connections you make and those conversations you have, because those are what's going to help you get to know someone better and I don't know how to phrase it. Yeah, you're just more curious and you learn more about people. And I feel like connection's important in that.
Yeah. You said take a moment to be in the pause. I like that. What does that mean?
Well, yeah, to just be in the moment, pause, and allow yourself to ask those questions like, oh, wait, you said you don't like coconut. Why? I don't know. That was a very random example of something that happened yesterday. I have a patient that just didn't like coconut because we have different floss flavors. I was just curious and I was like, oh, we have mint, strawberry, coconut. And she's like, oh, not coconut. I was like, oh, okay. Why? And she told me this whole story about like her mom loved coconut and she learned that as a child, like, oh, well, maybe if you keep trying it, you keep trying it, you'll love it. And she's like, and I hate it. And it was funny because it brought back her memories of her mom. And I just thought it was like a special moment because it wasn't about her not liking coconut floss. It was like the moment of her remembering her mom and like those experiences when she was younger, like, oh, I hate Almond Joys. Or like now when you get like those assortment of chocolates, she'll like crack open each one. She won't take a bite out of it just in case there's coconut. She's like, it will not leave you. And I'm like, you're right. It's not really strong. And it's just conversations when you're like, okay, I heard that, but I'm curious as to like learn more.
Yeah. So like really listening, but then diving deeper. That's how you make the strong connections kind of thing. I like that. I like that a lot. So then going back to your practice, production and collection these past months, how does that look like?
It's getting better. I don't know what details you'd like, but I feel like our practice is growing. Like the first month was more about organization, making sure everything was running smoothly. Second month was seeing more new patients and just trying to figure out our system still. And this month is more treatment, which is so cool because it's like patients are trusting us. Patients are allowing us to help them and excited about it, which is cool. I have a full smile makeover that's happening soon, which I'm like, what the heck? So cool.
Yeah.
And then we have our first oral surgery day coming on Saturday, where I have a colleague of mine come through and he'll offer sedation and wisdom teeth extractions. And I feel like the trajectory is like going up. I feel really good about it.
Yeah. No, and that's wonderful.
Yeah. I was terrified. But now I'm like, oh, it's okay. I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, that's good. So then numbers-wise, what does it look like, production and collection?
So production is a wild number that's like in the abyss. I feel like because we are writing off so much. And especially when we didn't have our systems down packed yet, we're still learning them. But I would say, I don't know, like our collections from our production UCR fee is like 50% or something. It's like way low. And I don't know if that's normal or not. But now we're like collecting payments before we render the treatment to like reserve the appointment. And now I feel like our collections is more stable.
Yeah.
It's really good. But if I were to give numbers, I would say my first month, I just looked at this report, but I can't remember it for some reason right now. The first month, January, I think our collections was right around like 8,000. Our following month was closer to 18. And then this month is 30 so far.
Wow, yeah. So it's going good. And then your break-even point has to be what?
The break-even point is right around 25.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's including rent now, whereas month one and two did not. So each month, the numbers were okay. Like we were breaking even. The first month we lost because we were just purchasing so much equipment. But this month we're able to invest back in the practice, which I'm really excited about. So we're able to add like implant treatments and I'm working on getting those kits going and stuff like that.
Wow. Okay. So, that's nice. How much is rent?
Rent is 8,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's you're in a good location. Like your location, would you say, is it downtown in your area or no?
Yeah, it's right north of downtown. So it's called Uptown.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's in a nice location. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So then throughout this process, Linda, one of the last questions I wanted to ask you is, I guess from the moment you decided to quit your associateship till today, what's been some of the biggest struggles, fails, or pitfalls you've experienced?
I think struggles was The main struggle is just believing in myself. I kept feeling unfulfilled, and I felt like it was the associate position or what I was doing or things like that. But actually, I guess what I'm trying to say is the problem was me. I needed to create an experience where I could feel fulfilled and not expect someone to have that just like laid out for me. And that was a hard experience, I think, or a hard lesson to learn, because I was like, oh, well, dentistry is like so established. I should be able to go to school, find a job, be happy. And I wasn't happy for a really long time. And I loved dentistry, but I was like, but why am I not happy doing dentistry? It's like, it was the weirdest disconnect. And then over time, I was like, why am I not happy in these associateships? I was like, oh, it has to be me. So I sat down and thought about what would it look like for me to feel happy? Like, what would it feel like? What would it look like? And also, like, just all the details, like all the senses, right? Like, what would it smell like? I know that's like a weird thing to say, but like my dental office doesn't smell like a dental office, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't want it to have like the tooth burn smell or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. The biggest learning lesson was that opportunities aren't always just going to be there. Sometimes you have to make it, and sometimes you have to dream it and go for it. And it may take some time to get there, but you got to take steps somewhere.
Yeah, I like that. Okay. So then the last scenario is guilty pleasure. So what's one guilty pleasure you indulge in after a long day of work that you think everyone should try at least once?
There are a lot.
I know.
Okay. So I like games. So after a long day, I do like to like just disconnect from dentistry in general. And there's a board game that I like to play called Wingspan. And it's a fun game that I think everyone should try to play. It's like, it's gorgeous for one, but two, you just try to like form these like habitats and get points, whatever. But it's a nice way to like just disconnect and have fun. I liked it so much that I downloaded it on my phone. So sometimes I won't like pull board game out. I'll just play it and invite my partner and we just play. And sometimes we'll just turn on the Nintendo Switch. There's a game we've been playing recently that's called It Takes Two, and it's a lot of problem solving with your partner. And it's a lot of fun, just like problem solving funny things like how to run away from squirrels or things. Cause I just feel like there's so much stress. So it's fun to problem solve through silly situations and scenarios and make it fun. So that's how I like to like.
Yeah. Wonderful, Linda. Thank you so much for being with us. It's been a pleasure. But before we say goodbye, can you tell our listeners where they can find you?
Yes. So my name is Dr. Linda. You can find me in Denver, Colorado at Sonder Dentistry. That's S-O-N-D-E-R Dentistry. And our website, sonderdentistry.com. You can find us on Instagram as well.
Awesome. So that's going to be in the show notes below. And Linda, thank you so much for being with us. It's been a pleasure, and we'll hear from you soon.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. And Linda, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast. We really appreciate you opening up and sharing with us your journey. And this episode was brought to you by Dark Horse Tech. Like you heard Linda, they are fantastic and they're doing amazing things. If you've experienced an IT hiccup or you have IT headaches, or maybe you're thinking, hey, is my practice's data safe or just a disaster away from vanishing? If so, with Dark Horse Tech's data backup and recovery services, you're always one step ahead. You don't want to risk losing crucial patient information or maybe losing it to a cyber attack. Especially that, right? Click the first link in the show notes below for an exclusive deal. Dark Horse Tech is giving you 30 days of unparalleled IT support for free. Go in the show notes below, click the first link in the show notes below that says Dark Horse Tech exclusive deal, and you're going to get 30 days off of Dark Horse Tech unparalleled IT support for free. Make data loss worries a thing of the past. Go with Dark Horse Tech and feel secured from now and moving forward. So thank you so much for tuning into this episode and always supporting the podcast, and I'll talk to you in the next episode.